The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now, here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to the Happy September, the fall semester show, if you will, of Age-Wise Living. I'm your host, Barbara Friesner, and I am so delighted to be back and to have all of you here with me today. I hope lots of you are longtime listeners who spent all of August eagerly awaiting our return, so thank you for coming back. And welcome to all of our new listeners. I hope you love the show and become loyal listeners, too. Whatever your status, I sincerely thank you for joining us here today. By the way, please feel free to tweet and Facebook or call or write and let all of your friends know about the show, Age-Wise Living. I thank you, and I think they will thank you, too. Did you have a good August? I have to say, I had a really good August. It was pretty weird because I pretty much did not do any work at all. Which is pretty nice, I gotta say. It started out that I was gonna take vacation from August 12th to the 26th. But you know how sometimes people say that it takes them a few days, once they get on vacation, it takes them a few days to rest and relax and get into the vacation mode? Well, I want you to know that as a public service, I have solved that problem. And I'm willing to share that with you. I simply mentally went on vacation on about August 1st. So I was deep into vacation by the time I got on the plane, and I flew to San Francisco for a meeting, and I stayed with some longtime wonderful friends in San Jose, California. And while I was there, I interviewed someone for my new book. And then I took the train to Los Angeles and stayed with another old friend and interviewed someone else for my new book. And then took the train to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and stayed there with other wonderful dear friends for 4 days. And then got back on the train and took the train to Chicago and New York. And I had a little sleeper car, so it was like a little cocoon, and it was just so great. It was wonderful. And I just ate and slept and visited friends and ate and slept and a lot of eating and sleeping, actually. I love vacations. In fact, when I got back, I didn't feel like working. So I got back last week, and so what I did, you know how you sometimes before the end of the vacation, you feel like you have to get back into your work mode? Well, instead of doing that, I just stayed in my vacation mode. So I pretty much did not work at all for all of August, and it was really cool. But fortunately, I love what I do, so other than endless eating and sleeping, I am absolutely delighted to be back. Now, for those of you who are new to the show or have lives of your own and don't remember who I am Barbara Friesner. My company is Age-Wise Living, and I am a generational coach. And I became a generational coach as the result of my experience as a care manager for more than 25 years. I did that first for my grandmother for many years, and then overlapping, and for the past 17 years, I was the care manager for my mother, who had severe advanced dementia. And I became a generational coach to help other families have an easier time as they journey through elder care, because I know from personal experience how difficult it is. And so I work with families, and only the family, never the senior, who are struggling to help their aging loved ones resolve critical elder care issues. And what I do as a generational coach is I help them to know what to do, but more importantly, I think anyway, I coach the family on how to communicate effectively with their aging loved one so their aging loved one will actually do what is in their best interest, which, as we all know, is usually the hard part. And even though my tagline is elder care issues resolved by choice, not crisis, most of my families are in crisis when they call me. They're either in a crisis or they've just gotten out of one, or they don't want to go through that again, or they see one looming right in front of them. But crisis is 99% of the time, it's right there. And since all of the coaching is done by phone, I work with people from all over the country, all over the world, in fact, which allows me to work with either one sibling, usually the caregiving daughter, or better yet, all of the siblings. And that way, we work on a conference call, which is great because that way we can work with siblings who are all over the country. And I love doing that because dealing with mommy and daddy issues is really difficult, and so working with everybody together helps with an outside person getting everybody on the same page and helping them all to work together. But I'd much rather help people avoid problems before they happen. So I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a free weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families. And by the way, if you haven't signed up for my free weekly newsletter, I really urge you to do it. It's very easy. All you have to do is go to agewiseliving.com, and on any page, there's a button that says sign up for free newsletter. So that's agewiseliving.com. And I also write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. And I am the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, which I will be reintroducing for the fall, so I'll be telling you more about that in the weeks to come. And because of my mother's dementia, dementia is a particular passion of mine. So I created a CD called Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing? And it's a great CD, if I do say so myself, and a lot of other people have said so too. And you can find it on the shop page at my website, which is agewiseliving.com. So check it out while you're signing up for my newsletter. And I have this show, Agewise Living, because it is my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Now, helping your aging parents is one of the most loving things that you can do, and many parents willingly and lovingly accept their children's help. Unfortunately, not everyone's parents see it that way. So as much as you're trying to help, the life of a caregiver can be draining and stressful and overwhelming and frustrating and even filled with guilt or resentment or anger or whatever. And as a result, a lot of family members will just drop elder care, the more difficult elder care issues, and hope that it's all just magically going to go away until it becomes a crisis. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way, and that's why I'm so excited to continue to do this show, because every week we focus on topics and issues that will help you help your aging parent, and in the process, enhance your own happiness and fulfillment and joy and peace, as well as enable you to have a better relationship with your parents and your siblings. Which is also why I am so delighted to have guests such as Ellen Besso, who is our guest today, and she's also the author of a wonderful book called Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin. And as I said, she is our guest today. So hi, Ellen, welcome.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, I am delighted to have you here. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you, and then we'll jump right in. So, Ellen Besso holds a Master of Arts degree in Counseling Psychology. She is a Martha Beck Certified Coach and a Registered Clinical Counselor. And as a writer and life coach, she helps midlife women bring balance into their lives. Ellen is also the caregiver for her elderly mother who has Alzheimer's, and I'm so sorry to hear about that. They always enjoy their weekly outings together, and her mom, Glynis, loves to get out and to see people, which is great. Ellen recently returned from a trip to Southeast Asia, where she visited with her brother, who spends his winters on a small idyllic island in the south of Thailand. Boy, doesn't that sound nice. I'm ready for another vacation, anyway. And she also took some time to go hiking in Laos. And in the autumn of 2009, Ellen will make her second visit to India, where she will realize her dream of doing volunteer work in Dharamsala. I knew it, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to get it out.
It's a tongue twister.
Doing volunteer work in Dharamsala, teaching English to Tibetan refugees. Ellen lives with her partner, Don, on the Sunshine Coast of British Columbia, a place she calls her spiritual home. And she stays connected and rejuvenated through the study of Buddhist teachings, her pure motion dance exercise classes, and visits with her 29-year-old daughter, Bronwyn. Time spent walking or in her garden with its beautiful roses and coniferous trees allows her to calm her mind, and I certainly can understand that because I go every morning for a walk in Central Park, so I certainly understand how that helps. So again, welcome, Ellen. And I have to say, before we continue, I have to tell you, I love your book, Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begins. I absolutely love your book. First of all, it's incredibly readable, which I was not sure it would be because sometimes when you have a psychologist or whatever, it's, you know, you're not sure. Incredibly readable. And you should see my copy. It's highlighted and underlined, and I've got sticky notes all over it. It's a wonderful book. Again, it's called Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin. And so I'm so delighted to have you here. Again, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And let's jump in, because I'm, rather than me just spending the rest of the time going on and on about your book, let's talk about some of the information you give in the book. So the first question is really a basic one, and when you're talking about caregivers, who are caregivers?
Well, caregivers could be anyone. They could be your neighbor. They could be your coworker. 73% of caregivers are female, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Women's Services, and the average age is 46. So to give two typical portraits, a caregiver could be a woman with kids still at home, and the woman is working part-time or full-time, or it could be a woman who has no kids or empty nest syndrome, and she's now looking for new beginnings, but she's got the caregiving happening, just starting or intensifying. And I like to put caregiving on a continuum. So it could be at one end a woman living with her parent, and at the far end it could be a woman in another state or province who perhaps hires a care manager to do the practical things. And then there's a lot of people in between.
And it covers a lot of people. And what makes it, and I didn't realize that the new number is 73% of women. I mean, I knew that it was women primarily, but a very high number.
Well, I was quite, not shocked, but what happens is it's first the daughter, and then if there's no daughter, it tends to be daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what really surprised me, no daughter-in-law, it goes to granddaughter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, because as I've talked about before, as a that the generation that we're talking about, our parents' generation, the Vicky D's, it is traditionally the daughter's role. It's their responsibility. It's what the daughter does, and so it's very hard for them, and it sometimes makes it difficult for sons who'd like to do the work. And I tell you what, we're about to go on break already, so we're going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age-Wise Living, and our guest today is Ellen Besso, and when we come back, she'll be answering more questions about the emotional side of caregiving. And to get more information about Ellen and her book, Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin, please do go to her website, which is ellenbesso.com. That's ellenbesso.com. Again, that's ellenbesso.com. And with that, we are going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
the Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Ellen Besso, who is the author of Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin. And when we I have another question for you, actually. What makes the caregiver role such a difficult one?
Well, Barbara, there's many reasons why it's tough. It's a real tough time, and caregiver women often end up feeling stressed, tired, maybe often guilty, maybe depressed. We try to do too much as women. Most of us do. We try to do everything to everyone. And, you know, women are, we all know, women are socialized differently than men. We're socialized to assume more caregiving duties. Whereas men are really good at delegating, and they also recognize limits to what can be accomplished as caregivers. And I was impressed with this, and I thought we could take a page from their book, actually.
I agree, because I know that I was uncomfortable doing the delegating, because people didn't do it as well as I did, you know, and ultimately, that just wasn't true.
That's one of the reasons, and then also many caregivers are sandwiched in between aging parents and children still at home, or children just being launched, plus many caregivers are facing the changes of midlife, and all that entails.
And plus, they're now both the men and the women are working. It's not something where you're working because it's a hobby. You're working because it's your career or because you have to. And it's not so easy to take the time off and do all the things that you have to do as a caregiver, all the appointments and stuff like that.
That's right.
Now, earlier you mentioned the that it's mostly that 46 is the average age. How does that equate with life stages? What does that equate?
Well, usually we're in midlife when we begin to be caregivers, often late 30s, although some people are younger. So late 30s on. So, as I said, we may still have kids at home, which makes it really tough. Some of us, many of us, I would think, are in perimenopause when the caregiving starts. Some are at the other end and young seniors. When we're in perimenopause, which is the lead up to menopause, I guess people know that, but just in case, there's so many changes involving our energy levels and sometimes health issues. And for me, a bigger part, and for a lot of women, I see is yearnings. When we get into, say, our mid-40s, we start to have yearnings. What else is there? We're looking for something different. We want time to ourselves. We may have spiritual questions. So it's a time when we're really meant to go inside and take stock and perhaps make changes. However, we are often beginning the caregiving, or it's intensifying right at this time.
Yeah. And rather than going out and buying the super new car, the sports car, or getting the young man, we tend to go within and look at ourselves and what's going on in our own lives. Mm. And how does that affect relationships? I mean, not just with our spouse and people like that, but with our parents.
Well, sometimes the lifestyle we've chosen when we're younger doesn't suit us as well once we hit midlife. Maybe it was just right when we were raising kids or when we were getting our career going. We may want changes now, or we may even want to stop some of our roles. I'm a mother. I'm never going to not be a mother, but I don't want to do the hands-on tasks anymore. Or we may want to change the career. We may want to put a lot of energy into becoming president of a company. We may want to start our own company. There's a lot of all our relationships change. In intimate relationships, if they're long-term relationships, I feel, and I think, and I've seen it around me, it could be make it or break it time. If the relationship isn't good, we may want to get out, or we may want to, you know, work hard and rebuild it. Mm-hmm. We need lots of support at this time. We need to connect. And again, we may feel it's our time now. It's like an internal calling, and we might find that caregiving's come at an inopportune time. And in many ways, it has.
At an opportune time or an inopportune time? I'm sorry?
An inopportune time.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, caregiving comes at an inopportune time because some of our adult responsibilities are waning, say, with children, or maybe we've got where we want to get in our career and we're looking to do other things, but because we're the sandwich generation, you know, we have our elders and we have our responsibilities and our duties.
And it makes it so difficult because we do, as women, we do put ourselves second for all of our caregiving duties, and with the thinking anyway, not necessarily the fact, but the thinking anyway, that when our kids are grown and it's our turn.
Yes.
And then it's a term that I call the second glass ceiling, because the first glass ceiling was that you were taking care of children. The second glass ceiling then becomes that you're taking care of parents.
Mm-hmm. Well put.
And it makes it such a difficult time. How do we as women have the right to put our needs first? I mean, elder care, our parents expect it to be us, the daughters, but they expect it to be their children, because with the 73%, that means there's another 30 or 28% that are the men, and so we are caregivers, and we sort of have to be caregivers. Do we as women have a right to put our needs first?
Well, I believe we owe it to ourselves to put our needs first and to prioritize our needs as much as possible. We can't do it every minute of every day, obviously, but as much as possible, and this is even more important when we're caregivers, because we have to pace ourselves. And we're not meant to deprive ourselves. It happens often, but no one is meant to deprive themselves, and women aren't. And when we look after ourselves and make sure we're getting our rest, we're getting time to ourselves, we're doing our hobbies, we're seeing our friends, we're much better daughters, much mm-hmm. better wives, moms, employees. So I always say that to people who have a hard time getting their head around the idea of prioritizing their needs. Look at it this way. You'll be better at da-da-da-da-da-da, the daughter, the wife, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, huh?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, but it's very hard to do. Because I know that there were weekends that I wanted to do something, but I needed to see my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I went up and I saw my mother. Or if I didn't, I felt really, really guilty about it for the rest of the week. The other thing that I know is also true is that, you know, talking about putting our needs first, one of the things that I noticed that I realized when my mother died, and she died in the beginning of June, is that in order to take good care of her, in order to be loving and in order to take really good care of her, and which I did, I needed to not address issues that she and I had throughout my life. There were anger issues. There were things that I was angry about. But I know that I could not look at my anger and still take care of her. So I had to really push down a lot of my needs and not address a lot of my emotions in order to take care of my mother. I mean, is that something that you find as you're working with women, that this sort of thing happens?
Yes. What happens is they're very intimate relationships with our parent, and you had mentioned this in one of your other shows, that it was harder with your mom because mm-hmm. of the issues. And so we need to, like I talk about this a lot in my book, about ways to look after ourselves and deal with our emotions, and we're going to get a little bit more into emotions as we go on. But I think we have to have I agree, we can't always talk to our parent about this, especially when they have dementia or
right.
if they're very, very frail. We still have to have an outlet for them. We have to talk to our friends. We have to perhaps have counseling or coaching, use, you know, do exercises or something, because if we just stuff them, it will come back to bite us, as I like to say, in some way or another. It will affect us physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually in the long run.
Yeah, and with me, it was, you know, 17 years of not addressing it, and you're absolutely right, and I want to really point this out. One of the things that absolutely true, and that is at this point, and one of the things that I think is the most frustrating is you can't talk to your loved one. I couldn't talk to my mother. She had dementia. It was gone. Her experience of her life was gone. There was nothing she could say or do, which made it even more frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Well, my experience has been different, and I know I've been fortunate because as my mother, her dementia increased, she lost her anxiety and her criticalness, so that she became mellow and we became close.
Oh, that's nice.
Whereas we hadn't been. So I you know, I don't know that I've resolved everything, and I wouldn't say that, but having the closeness has helped a lot. It's gone a long way. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Now, with my mother, we did get a lot closer because the dementia was there, and I had to realize, and did realize, and was willing to realize that she has dementia. You know, trying to get her to answer what happened and why was ridiculous.
Mm.
And so it wasn't about her anymore. It was about how I was feeling. You know, so it's very difficult. Let me say, we're going to take a quick break right now. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age-Wise Living, and our guest today is Ellen Besso. And when we come back, she's going to be answering more questions about the emotional side of caregiving. I want to remind you that to get more information about Ellen and her book, Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin, go to her website, which is ellenbesso.com. And by the way, it's a green version, which means you can download it immediately, and which I love because not only is it green so that you're not wasting paper, but when I want to read a book, I want to read it now. So you can do that. So at any rate, that's ellenbesso.com. And with that, we are going to go to break.
Number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Ellen Besso, and she's talking with us about surviving elder care. And before we went on break, Ellen, you were talking about putting your needs first, and us putting our needs first. And I apologize for cutting you off because obviously this is a topic that I'm interested in, and I loved your book, so I'm sort of interjecting a lot, but I do want to go back to that because you talked about women having the right to put our needs first. So how do we do that?
Yes. Well, we're modeling behaviors. So this is really important, especially for our daughters. So whatever we do, others follow. And we're the only ones with the power to change the way we do it. No one's going to, in all probability, no one's going to step up and do it for us. It's human nature to let other people, if we do a lot, our family and so on will let us. That's human nature. So we're the ones that have to grab it and take it and say, I'm making change, I'm looking after myself. So I would say the first thing we need to do is slow down enough so we can step back and see the forest for the trees, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way we can get in touch with what needs to happen and what we need to do, what we need to change, unless we slow down. We have the answers, and we may need to talk to people to help tease the answers out, but we do know what we need. We know if we're exhausted. We know if we're angry or guilty. So the answers are there, but we won't hear them if we keep running. And this is where I feel particularly passionate. If we keep on running and doing, we will not get in touch with what we need to do. So once we start to get some ideas about what we need to do, we can begin to make small changes. We call them turtle steps. And I've got three words. You know, in real estate, it's location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. Well, my three words are delegate in
yes.
big capital letters. So there's some really basic questions we can ask. Does this have to be done? Now, some tasks don't. They just don't have to be done at all. Then does it have to be done now, if you feel it really has to be? Does it have to be done now? And then a really important one, can someone else do it? Because there's a lot of things, when we step back and really think about this, and if we can get the noise and the guilt and whatnot out of our heads, we'll find there's a lot of things that we're doing for our parent or grandparent or other family member that other people could do, and we can still be there with our love and our caring. So if we get a support team going for the practical tasks and the moral support, like I said, if we have friends or a counselor or a support group, that's the moral support. The practical task, we can hire people, we can get volunteers if we don't have enough funds. Often young people will do after-school activities, paid activities that are part of their courses, or churches will visit people. So for me, an integrated body-mind-spirit approach is really important, and we're going to talk a little bit more about spirituality later. So, and so we need to prioritize our needs in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then this leads to good health instead of burnout for us as caregivers.
Absolutely, and the really hard part with it is that so often for caregivers, they take on a little and they take on a little and they take on a little and they take on a little, and before they know it, they're up to their necks in caregiving responsibilities that they didn't realize were there.
Exactly. I mentioned this in my book that it happens to us at work sometimes. We take on extra tasks too. I guess as women, this often happens, so I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that you mention, and it's really hard for women, and sometimes when it's really hard for children when they're dealing with their adult children, when they're dealing with their parents, is boundaries.
Yes, that's the toughest thing, I think.
How do they come into play, and let's talk about boundaries.
Okay, well, it's really important to set them as a caregiver, because we have so much to do usually. And many of us are good at boundaries in some areas. We might be great at work, as a manager at work, but not with family. And it's the toughest when family is elderly, when they're failing, when they're ill. That's the toughest of all. But it's really important because, again, in order to do this for the long haul, and many of us are in it for the long haul, like you were, Barbara, and I am, then we have to balance. We have to balance it all, and boundaries are an important part of it. What can I do? What can't I do? Or what will I allow my parent to say to me, and what won't I even? And boundaries are especially important if it is a challenging parent to set
mm-hmm.
the boundaries.
And also, what am I willing to have them say to my spouse
mm-hmm.
and to my kids? Just because they're grandparents doesn't mean, you know, if they're living with me or not living with
yeah.
me, or to my husband or, you know,
yeah.
spouse in general, really thinking in terms of not just me, but how it's really affecting other people as well.
Yes, and sometimes we have to be firm, and that happened with my mom when she first went into care in 2004. I went often because it was the first week, and I'd be coming down the hall, and she waved her finger at me and said, "Where have you been?" And I swear I shrunk, I was like a little girl inside. And the third time it happened, I think it was the third time, I said, "If you do that again, I'm going home." And my mother never did it again. And she had gone into care because her dementia was too severe to live alone. So I found that fascinating. So I think we can't think that we can't say anything because they have dementia. She got it loud and clear.
Yeah, and they get it not just in what you say, but also in how you say it.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a hard thing, because sometimes you say something that you did not mean to sound harsh, but you said it in a rougher way just because you were fighting traffic to get there, or you know, mm-hmm. you're having problems at work or whatever, and they hear how you say it as much as what you say.
And I think that's a very good point, because they would hear that sense or the tone even more if they have dementia, yeah.
But it's interesting that that got through to her, that she connected how you were feeling with what it was that she was saying, because that doesn't always, that's just not always the case.
No, it isn't, no.
And so how do our thoughts and beliefs and emotions affect us as caregivers?
Well, we all have many thoughts and beliefs about ourselves and about our roles and our responsibilities in life. Like, for example, as a caregiver, an example is, I'm a good daughter if I visit my mother daily. And probably most of us have a certain frequency of visits that makes us a good daughter. I know I always have.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is, my mother or my father can't do without me. That's a thought and a belief. My parent will appreciate me if I do da-da-da-da or if I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
So the thoughts we have drive our emotions. See, so first we have these thoughts and beliefs. They drive our emotions, and sometimes that leads to upset. So say I have a thought my mother is alone. She's all alone in her apartment, which she was, you know, before she went into care. Then I might dwell on that for a while, and then, oh, I feel sad. I feel really sad for her, and it's painful. Then my behavior, my new belief, which might lead to behavior, is I feel responsible for my mother. That was a pretty big thing for me, and I imagine it is for a lot of women. My mother was widowed at only 53.
Wow.
So, yeah. So these kinds of thoughts, you know, they drive us. And so it's important that we try and tease them out or excavate them. They may be buried. But, again, taking some time, just sitting, journaling a bit maybe. We can track our thoughts and our feelings. We can go, okay, I'm feeling, I was in a good mood, now I'm not. What happened? Go back. Oh, I had this thought about my mom or my dad. Oh, then I felt guilty or whatever. So it's, we can do it for ourselves to track, do this tracking.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really important because otherwise we can end up just running in a circle.
Yeah.
And feeling so upset. And again, the strong feelings hurt us over time. Physically, emotionally, mentally, if we look at things in a holistic way, physical disease is informed, heavily informed, by the feelings, thoughts, beliefs.
Absolutely.
And many scientists say that now.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about taking a placebo or something like that. I mean, we know that what we think affects us physically as much. And then you add on top of that, if you're a caregiver and you're dealing with mommy and daddy issues, and you're a sibling and you're dealing with sibling issues, which can also get so much of it in there and really heighten the emotional aspect of it. You know, this is my last chance to get mom to love me best or show her that I'm a good child or, you know, whatever.
It's very complex.
But I only had a few of the problems, and it was very complex, because thank God I had really wonderful sisters who are so supportive in everything that I did, but it didn't stop me from thinking what I was thinking, and certainly I could relate to when you were talking about the responsibility aspect of it, that it becomes one of those things where she is my responsibility, and she is, because my father had also died, but perhaps not as much as it needed to be. And when we come back, what I want to do is to ask what some of the strong feelings that can accompany life as a caregiver and then how we can deal with them and then continue on, because you also mentioned about spirituality, and I also want to touch on that. So with that, we're going to stop for a short break right here. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age Wise Living. And our guest today is Ellen Besso, and when we come back, she'll be answering more questions about surviving elder care, which is part of the name of her book, which is Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin. And I want to remind you that you can download her green version of her book by going to ellenbesso.com. That's ellenbesso.com. And I really urge you to do that. And with that, we're going to take a break, and I will see you when we come back.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear?
me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another?
Don't you wish you had some place to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Welcome back to Age Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and my guest today is Erin Besso, and she is the author of a wonderful book called Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin, which, by the way, is coming out in print at the end of the month, which I didn't realize. That's terrific. So it's the whole printed, like, put it on your bookshelf kind of printed one. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but congratulations.
Thank you.
You were talking about, before we went on break, you were talking about the thoughts and beliefs and emotions that affect us. What are some of the strong feelings that often accompany life as a caregiver? And any suggestions on how we can deal with them?
Well, it's totally common and completely normal to have strong feelings such as anger, resentment, guilt, overwhelming sadness sometimes. There's different things we can do, and I'll mention a few of them right now. We can embrace the feelings. And I know you go, oh, I don't want to do that. Because our way in Western society is to run away from them. But actually, they pass a lot faster when we embrace them. So if we embrace and accept them, and accept that we feel the feelings, and that we have a right to them, they're our feelings. We're not bad if we feel resentful, for example. Also, sort of accept the idea that we don't have to be the perfect daughter or granddaughter or daughter-in-law, whatever, or spouse. And that's okay. We're human beings. We're not meant to be perfect. Also, acknowledge and accept that we have a right and a need to a life of our own apart from caregiving. yes, our parent or other family member are very important to us, an important part of our life, but we have a right to do other things, and not just our job either, to actually have some downtime.
To have a life? Like a real life?
Well, what a concept, huh?
Oh, my God. I love it. That's going to go on my list right along with vacation.
So, again, a support team can really make a big difference. So to do some of the practical work, but also for moral support. And so, like, we've always had, when my mom was in her apartment, she had several women going in. But she still has a woman, a paid woman who visits her, who's actually visited her for 11 years. And in fact, they in her new care home, which she moved into a couple of years ago, they thought that that was a second daughter. Interesting. So it's okay to pay people to visit loving people. You don't just pick anyone, but it's okay. So, and it's not, oh, and this is an important point. I really want to stress this. It's not weak to need support, whether it's practical, come help us with visits, or whether it's moral support. It's not weak. We don't have to do it alone. Women are very strong, and we tend to get carried away and think this means we have to do it all and that we have to figure it all out, too.
Yeah.
We don't, you know. It's just not, it's too much, especially as caregivers. It's too much to do. So with the strong feelings, accepting them can help. Journaling can help. A journal can become your best friend. If it's hard to get the stuff out, you take your non-dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, you take your left hand, you write with that. You don't have to write paragraphs. You can just jot words down. You'll be surprised at what comes out that'll help you with your feelings.
And it's so funny that you mentioned journaling, because next week, on my next week show on September 8th, I have on a woman who is an author of a book about journaling, and she's going to be discussing journaling for elder caregivers and what to do and how to do it and all
wonderful.
Of that. So it's just so funny that you mentioned that, and so many people talk about journaling, but you're absolutely right.
No, it's an old and tried and true technique, and I'm not going to say any more because next week you'll really, really get into it. And then another thing is being kind to yourself, read your self-talk, because, you know, we're all so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
So just we can teach ourselves to catch it when we're beating ourselves up, catch it. And then finally, upping the self-care. You know that funny expression, extreme self-care?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's... do it, up it, double it, triple it. Whatever you're doing, increase it. Yeah,
yeah. And that's so true, because I know that I honestly didn't realize how many other people do it, but I'm one of those people who just constantly beats myself up. Oh, Barbara, I can't believe you did that. Oh, Barbara, that's terrible. Oh, Barbara, that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a waste of time. In the short time we have, because we are almost out of time, I want to ask you very quickly, in your opinion, you mentioned spirituality and you said we'd come to that later. Why is spirituality particularly important for caregivers?
Well, we all know we're not just a body or a mind. We're spirit also. And when we get in touch with spirit, it nurtures us. It calms us. It can soften our relationship with our parent a lot. And spirituality isn't something we just pick up now and then. It's who we are. And we need. And I think it's important to consciously bring our spirit with us wherever we go, whether it's to visit our parent or whether it's to work.
And you're not talking about religion necessarily.
No. So it can be as easy as taking a couple of deep breaths and slowing down, because that keeps us centered. And to me, you know, I'm very eclectic, but to me, if we're centered and focused, we're connected with spirit, because that brings us back to a calm place if we take a breath. And so for some people, it could be formal religious practice. For someone else, it could be walking in the woods.
Yeah.
And all this becomes habit. Once we do it after a while, and in the beginning we need to put up post-its or set our buzzer on our watch or our phone or something, or do iPods have buzzers? I don't know. But we need to remind ourselves to breathe and to slow down at first, and then it does become habit, I promise.
It does, and it, and so important. And unfortunately, that's really pretty much all the time that we have. And I still have lots more questions for you because I just think that the advice that you give is wonderful. So, would you be willing to answer the rest of the questions and any questions that anybody writes in to Barbara at AgeWiseLiving.com, and we'll put them in next week's not this Thursday, but the following Thursday's newsletter, the AgeWise Living newsletter. Would you be willing to do that?
I'd love to do that.
Great.
That would be really enjoyable, yes.
That would be great. And so people that are listening, if you want more information, two ways of getting it, and I hope you do both. And one is to go to EllenBesso.com and to get her book, either downloading it. It's called Surviving Elder Care, Where Their Needs End and Yours Begin. You can either download it, or it's coming out in the printed version at the end of the month, and you can go there by going to EllenBesso.com. And I also want to remind you to tune in next Tuesday, because as we were talking about, I have a guest called Ellen Goodwin. She's the author of You Want Me to Do What? And she's going to be discussing journaling for elder caregivers, specifically for elder caregivers, and what to do and why to do it, and perhaps more importantly, why to do it. And I'll give you a hint. It's because writing relieves stress and saves lives. So you certainly don't want to miss that. So please tune in Tuesday, September 1st at 10 p.m. Eastern. With that, I had a great time today. Thank you, Ellen, so much. And until next week, have a terrific Labor Day, and have a terrific September. And carpe diem, everyone. Seize the day.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you, Ellen.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.